Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are going all in on, well, one of the biggest secrets in the industry.
If you can still call it a secret.
Heh, that's fair. We're talking about the analysis of that massive leaked satellite view map of Leonida, the setting for, you know, the next big open world game. So we've taken the raw technical breakdowns, the geometric analysis, all that scattered industry chatter, and we've tried to distill it for you.
Cut through the noise.
Exactly. Our goal here is to give you three critical insights. First, the genuinely staggering scale of this map. Second, the new geographic hubs that prove this is not just a Vice City game.
Not by a long shot.
And third, the massive technological challenges. I mean, what this level of detail means for the console sitting right under your TV?
Look, you've got to approach any leak with a huge dose of skepticism. It's just mandatory.
Of course.
The internet is full of fakes. But the sources we've analyzed on this one, well, they suggest this map is frighteningly credible.
Frighteningly credible. Okay, so what's the biggest piece of evidence? Because I'm seeing a lot of technical jargon in the notes here, stuff like topographic verisimilitude.
Right.
For everyone listening, can you just break down the one or two details that prove this isn't some really good Photoshop job?
Oh, for sure. It really comes down to the geological realism.
Okay.
The single best indicator is the accurate bathymetry. That's just a fancy way of saying the water depth mapping.
The ocean floor.
Exactly. Hmm? Especially in the coastal regions and the Keys, it aligns almost perfectly with real-world Florida geography. You can't fake that level of complexity and detail across such a huge digital surface.
So that's the technical proof. What about the market reaction? Because that often tells an even louder story.
Absolutely. The lack of an immediate flat denial from Take-Two Interactive.
Right, the silence.
The silence combined with the scorched earth policy of swift DMCA takedowns on Reddit and everywhere else. That is not the reaction you have to a fan-made render. That's the behavior of a company scrambling to control a legitimate, highly sensitive asset. It really speaks volumes.
Okay, so let's unpack the sheer size of that asset then.
Let's do it.
If you were expecting, you know, a slightly upgraded Los Santos, you might want to adjust your expectations. This is the primary aha moment from all the source material.
It really is. We're looking at a fundamentally different scale of play area.
So how do we even measure that?
Well, we needed a way to quantify it accurately. The Taking Game Analysis team, they used a really clever approach they called the runway scaling method.
Okay, what's that?
They basically assumed the main runway at the Vice City International Airport is a standard operational length, so about 3,000 meters.
A real-world measurement.
A real-world measurement. And by using that as a reference point, they could then overlay the dimensions of GTAV's playable area right on top of this leaked map.
Wait, so using that scale, what did the overlay tell them? What's the final number?
The finding is, it's genuinely staggering. Based on the landmass alone, Leonida appears to be between 2.8 and 3 times larger than the entire playable area of Los Ancos and Blaine County combined.
3 times. Nearly 3 times the playground.
Yep.
Okay, 3 times. Yeah. That sounds incredible. But as a listener, you might be thinking, wait a minute, isn't bigger just emptier?
It's the classic open world problem.
For sure. We've all played those games with huge maps, but they're mostly repetitive forests or pointless deserts. GTAV, for all its beauty, had what analysts called the void factor.
It did, and that's a crucial distinction here.
Mm-hmm.
Analysts estimate that up to 60% of GTAV's landmass was functionally empty mountain ranges. You know, that void you drove through just for the cinematic scale.
Right.
Leonida's design philosophy, according to the sources, is the complete opposite. While it's a lot flatter, the key focus is density.
So it's not just wide, it's deep.
Exactly. The source material really emphasizes that the map is packed with meaningful geography. Dense wetlands, small, unique towns, complex tropical forests. The design is meant to minimize that filler space.
So the idea is that every square mile is either a major population center or a unique mission-ready environment.
That's the goal. Even the urban core, Vice City itself, reflects this. The notes suggest Vice City rivals the size of Liberty City from GTA V.
Which was famously dense and packed.
Super dense. But Vice City will supposedly feature significantly wider streets and, crucially, a far higher number of accessible interiors than any previous Rockstar title. It's urban depth, not just urban sprawl.
Okay, that makes sense. So there should be minimal dead zones. Every alleyway, every swamp shack is meant to be there for a reason.
Which is a massive technical feat, and we'll definitely get to that later.
For sure. Okay, so moving from scale to the actual geography, this is where the map just fundamentally changes what we thought this game was about. For years, we all just assumed it would be Vice City and its surroundings.
Right, the simple nostalgia trip.
And this leak proves that assumption is definitively wrong. It reveals two major secondary cities, two other hubs that completely change the gameplay loop.
Let's start with Port Gilhorn. It's situated up in the northwest corner.
Okay.
This place is designed to be the grimy industrial heartland. Think less neon, more rust. It's the blue-collar, working-class counterpoint to Vice City's sun-drenched glitz.
And the geography of a place like that seems to dictate exactly what you'd be doing there.
It certainly suggests it. Port Gellhorn is right near these winding, underdeveloped mountain roads, and it features a massive, dedicated racetrack.
Ah, so street racing.
It strongly suggests it'll be the primary hub for the street racing subculture and vehicle customization. Plus, its industrial nature, the huge port facilities, that implies heavy cargo missions will be centered there.
The classic transportation backbone of the
A
franchise.
place built for speed and grime.
But if Port Gellhorn is the grime, then on the eastern coast we find the polish. Ambrosia.
A completely different world.
It looks like it.
It is. Ambrosia just screams hyper wealth. The sources describe it as a kind of gated community style city, a satirical take on places like Palm Beach or Jupiter Island. It's where the 0.1% live.
Which naturally makes it the prime target for high stakes crimes.
Exactly. This layout practically screams that Ambrosia will be the target for the most elaborate heist missions. You can expect those massive mansions and private harbors to be protected by dedicated high security forces.
So you need a totally different approach than the kind of chaos you'd cause in Vice City.
A different set of plans, a different crew, different tools. It suggests the approach has to change. A source noted that Ambrosia's security might demand, a social stealth or infiltration approach.
Whereas a target in Port Gellhorn might just be brute force and speed.
The locations dictate the mechanics.
So if the northern half of the map sets up these core industrial and wealth hubs, the southern section introduces what looks like a revolution in vehicle gameplay, specifically naval gameplay.
We're talking about that massive archipelago down south, the Kidder Keys.
If you look at the map, the Keys just dominate the bottom portion, mirroring the real Florida Keys. This isn't just a scenic coastal road.
No, it's a complex, intricate network of waterways, coves, and islands.
But why does the mere existence of these keys suggest a complete physics and gameplay overhaul?
Because the sheer density of the waterways makes water travel non-negotiable. The sources imply that boats, and maybe even submarines, will be absolutely essential for traversal and discovery.
So naval movement is on par with driving your favorite car. Water is no longer just a boundary you cross.
It's a dynamic highway full of hidden content.
So if you want to access key parts of the map, you have to invest in naval vehicles. It's not a novelty, it's a core necessity.
Precisely. This environment is just tailor-made for Miami Vice-style smuggling operations.
Oh, for sure.
Moving illicit cargo through those intricate waterways, avoiding radar and hidden coves, that's where the big money and the big risk is going to be.
And if you get caught, I'm just imagining the chaos on that famous overseas highway connecting the islands.
It would be insane. Cars jumping bridges while boats are maneuvering underneath. It becomes a game of vertical and horizontal escape.
It really raises a powerful design question. When you prioritize water that much, you unlock a whole new dimension of hidden stuff that cars just can't reach.
Right. It confirms the map is built for maximum exploration depth.
Okay, so all of this density, the staggering scale, it leads us to the terrifying question for hardware enthusiasts.
The million-dollar question.
Can the consoles most people own right now, the base PS5 and Xbox Series X, actually handle this world without melting?
Yeah, this is where the technical constraints hit the creative ambition hard. This brings us to the rumored technological backbone, Rockstar's Rage 9 engine, and a solution they're supposedly calling Smart Asset Streaming.
That sounds like technical wizardry. For the listener, what exactly is smart asset streaming, and how does it save us from constant loading screens?
In simple terms, it leverages the full speed of those NVMe SSDs inside the current consoles. Traditional open-world games preload huge sections of the map into memory. Smart Asset Streaming, instead, streams just the necessary assets, textures, high-detail models, NPCs in real time, just milliseconds before you actually see them.
And it's constantly feeding the world to you without any buffering.
Exactly. It's really the only feasible way to eliminate traditional load screens while maintaining this incredible level of graphical and geographical density. The engine is built to just keep the game moving forward.
That sounds incredible, but we have to be realistic about performance. If the world is this dense, what is the clear expectation for the average console player?
The sources set a very clear expectation here. Do not anticipate 60 frames per second on the base consoles.
Oof.
The combination of the scale, the density, and the rumored ray-traced global illumination, it just screams 30 FPS fidelity mode.
Meaning that if you demand that buttery, smooth 60 FPS experience, the game itself is basically pushing you to invest in a premium console, like a PS5 Pro or a very high-end PC.
It's a statement about ambition. It feels like they built the world they wanted to build first, and now the hardware has to scramble to catch up.
Instead of the world being constrained by yesterday's tech?
Exactly.
So when we put all this together, the scale, the complexity, the naval overhaul, the tech demands, what does it tell us about the overall design philosophy?
We've seen so many massive open world games recently. You think of titles like Starfield. And the big criticism is always a mile wide, an inch deep.
And this Leonida map appears to be the definitive counterargument to that. Rockstar seems to be aiming for mile wide, mile deep.
And they're using the dense geography to enforce that depth.
Right. And the source material is very clear on this point. This map is entirely handcrafted. It's not procedurally generated.
So every single detail is deliberate.
Every swamp shack in the wetlands, every curve in the road near Port Gellhorn, every hidden cove in the Keys, it's all designed to serve a purpose. It isn't randomized filler. It's intentional design for missions, for exploration, for environmental storytelling. So the core relevance for you, the listener, is clear. This is a world built to reward active discovery. It really suggests that the long, agonizing wait for this game will be justified by the sheer level of detail and purposeful geography.
That seems to be the takeaway.
Okay, so to quickly recap the nuggets from this deep dive, we are looking at a map roughly three times the size of GTAV's playable area, but with way more density.
A crucial difference.
We've confirmed two new hubs: the grimy street racing heartland of Port Gellhorn and the wealthy heist magnet of Ambrosia. And we've discovered that naval gameplay is likely being elevated to a primary method of travel because of the Gator Keys.
And that leads to a final provocative thought for you to chew on.
Go for it.
If they truly have eliminated all that void space in favor of dense, purposeful geography, the keys, the wetlands, the towns, what does that imply about the nature of random discovery? If every single element has been handcrafted for a purpose, does that limit the potential for true, unexpected, unscripted randomness that so many players love in these massive worlds?
That is a fascinating exchange, trading those vast empty spaces for extremely dense, purposeful geography. We can't wait for you to discover what secrets the depths of Leonida might be hiding.